Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo with just a slight touch of laryngitis today, but we have the good fortune of being able to have our guest who's been scheduled, who lives in New Jersey, and all of us know how the people on the East Coast have just been slammed with horrific weather conditions, Tom Gagliano. And I'm so delighted that he is able to talk with us because, my goodness, so many people just don't have any power at all. The book that he wrote is called The Problem Was Me and How to End Negative Self-Talk and Take Your Life to a New Level. Tom, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Now, Tom, how's everything back in New Jersey? I want my listeners to know what someone personally has gone through, and we're going to talk about your book, but how are you and your family doing with these intensive weather conditions?
We're doing very well, and everybody's surviving. You know, it's uncomfortable. The power goes out, and I have four kids, and you know kids today, no power, that means no TV, no, and they have to just sit there and talk to their parents. How's that for a new concept? And,
wow.
But we're doing okay. I have no electricity, but the worst of it is over, and we'll survive it. And everybody else seems to be okay. Been in touch with a lot of people, and their car was out, but they survived it. They're doing okay.
That is wonderful. Well, I'll tell you, the resiliency of people, it just is amazing to me.
Yes,
and when I was watching all of the stuff happening in New York and the flooding, and New York is one of my favorite places, but being aware of the structure of New York and the buildings and all this other stuff, New Jersey, the bridges, oh my goodness, you people just have really done an incredible job of being able to withstand a lot of this. So we are all just very glad that you're doing well. Tom, you don't mind if I call you Tom instead of Thomas, do you?
Nope, that's perfect.
Okay. Tom, you are a man who has known success on multiple levels. You,
right.
However, have opted to take a position in an area that I think most people avoid, and that is addiction. Self-help, I know a lot of people that are in that. But addiction is something entirely different. Now, you and Abraham Twersky, who is a doctor, got together and decided you were going to share some things with people. Your book is titled The Problem Was Me. That
right.
takes a lot of courage, Tom, to say to someone, it's me. It's not out there.
Yes.
It's not the world. It's not my dog. It's not my wife. It's not my kids. It's not the universe. It's me. That's
right.
a
Thank
big
you.
Statement, Tom. Why is that
yes.
important for you to do this?
I, you know, before I put the book out, I spoke to my wife and children, who I disclosed everything about me, and I asked if it would be okay. I've been helping people for many years, doing it free of charge for many, many years, running groups and churches and schools. I started to do it professionally after I got my master's degree last August. August of 2011, and my wife and children, and I give them so much courage as well, credit as well, that they allowed me to put the book out. I wanted to let people know that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are doing actions, not just addictions, all kinds of crazy actions that they're sabotaging their lives, they're sabotaging their happiness, and they just don't know why. Why do I do this? I'm a smart person. I understand. I'm a learned person. Why am I sabotaging all the relationships in my life? And I felt that if I put a book out, drawing the responsibility on myself, solely on myself, I could give other people the courage to take a peek inside of themselves and maybe find some happiness. You know, we don't mean to hurt those around us or hurt ourselves. But to me, all of this stuff starts from a childhood message that tells the person that they don't deserve to be happy. They don't deserve love. And I know, Donna, for me, that's what did it for me. I was a very successful businessman. Everything financially was wonderful, except I just seemed to be sabotaging the relationships of those around me, my wife and children. And they loved me. They loved me, but I wasn't able to allow love in. And eventually, I was going to sentence myself to a very lonely life unless I took responsibility. And that's why I named the book, The Problem Was Me. And it's very funny, Donna, because when I went to my wife after I was trying to come up with a name for the book, and I told my wife, Sue, I have it. The problem was me. She said, yes, it was. And that's how I got the title. So.
Hey, nothing like a spell to reinforce what they lived with.
Yeah.
I think you're exactly correct. I think, yep. Tom, it is very, very hard in a substantial portion of society to really be comfortable with the world attitude of, with the personal attitude, not the world's attitude, because the world doesn't give a hoot, but the personal
right.
attitude of personal responsibility. And
absolutely.
So much of that has been thrown in the trash can. So
yes.
for a man
yes.
like you to make a statement like this and be so public about it, boy, that is something I think that a lot of young people, actually people of any age, should be able to listen to and say, wait a minute, if he has the courage to do this, am I willing to do this too? Now, one of the things that I liked about your book is that you did not make this a bash, bash, bash. It's not that
right.
at all. It's integrity
right.
with the self, and that's not easily learned. It's very
right.
easy to go another routing. Now, you mentioned, and this is in your book, that often there's unresolved issues from when we're young. Well, psychiatrists have been talking about that for years. But your
right.
approach is that you have broken down some elements. You call one of the components the warden. Now, this
right.
is the bad-talking guy. This is the very
yeah.
much the part of ourselves, you don't deserve this. You're in jail, you're going to stay in jail, you're never going to go anywhere, you're never going to do anything. You're just bad news all the way around. And
right.
then you talk about the different roles that people play. Caretaking,
right.
victim, transparent, defiant, compliant, angry, underachieving, controlling. And you go into details on that. But you have a statement in your book I really like. It says, if you do not have awareness, and that's a big word. If you do
right.
not have awareness, you cannot take action. If you
right.
cannot take action, there is nothing to maintain. And I can look
right.
back on times in my own life and say, goodness gracious, that is so true. How many people are frozen because they just
right.
don't know what their options are?
Exactly. Or why they do it. And Donna, I could tell you, you know, if we just take one little role like a people pleaser, you know, how many people listening to your show today say yes all the time because it's too painful to say no? And
mm-hmm.
and what I try to do in my book is I try to help people understand that so many of us have a problem saying no to others. And what inner voice is responsible for that? What inner voice tells us that if we say no and we take care of ourselves first, that we're a bad person? And that's just an example of some of the roles that are created from our childhood messages, roles that we become imprisoned in. And it's very difficult to come out of this role. And as you said in my book, is awareness, action, and maintenance. And those are the three ingredients that I talk about on changing the roles.
I think so. Now, you state in your book sometimes, not always, but sometimes we need to revisit the past before we can move beyond our current struggle.
Right.
In the world, and this is not unusual with humanity, And a lot of it is trained in by society. Somebody else is supposed to fix us. Somebody else is supposed to take care of us. It's
right.
not me. It's out there. And to get
right.
to the point to say, wait a minute, there's got to be something here. That
right.
is important. Tell us a little bit about your background. You said you had your parents on a pedestal. And
right.
But your dad really had some issues. Your mom had some issues. So tell us what happened.
Well, as a kid, my father was multiply addicted, as I later became. And my childhood was really filled with a lot of fear. My father, if he didn't come home at a certain time, it meant he was going to come home drunk. And if he came home drunk, it meant he was going to hurt someone, either me or my mother. I was the oldest of four, or my brothers. So I spent a lot of time, you know, sitting up at the top of the stairs, really afraid, waiting to pounce on him if I should hear him come in, and I would hear a slap or screaming or something. And I was probably about 8, 9, 10, 11 years old at the time. And what happens is, you know, when you grow up in a childhood with a lot of fireworks going on, you're never comfortable, you're never safe. And I think the most important element any parent can give their children, and I talk about this, I do a lot of speaking about this in bully issues, is a parent needs to provide a safe place for their children, a place where they could talk about their fears, their sexual orientation, whatever that is. Now, I didn't have that. I had, in fact, a very unstable, crazy childhood, and when that happens, you get addicted to the insanity. You get addicted to always running and creating insanity in your adult life. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that's kind of what I did. And again, as you said through this conversation, that if I didn't take responsibility for what I created and I couldn't point the finger at other people, I was never, ever going to first find happiness within myself or give happiness to other people. And I could tell you throughout my book, as you read, my book is about my story and the story of other men and women that I've helped. You know, my father became a really good grandfather and a really good person. He went into rehab. He went into to get help for his addiction, and he really became a good. But to me, as a kid, he was a 10-foot monster. He was an animal. So even when he changed, I had this problem getting close to him because I was too afraid.
Well, the memory was so hardwired inside of you.
Yes,
and the emotional
yes, exactly.
and the belief systems had already been established.
So right.
So, though he had made the changes, there was still the amount of distrust that was in place, that feeling
right.
of vulnerability. Now, you yourself, and you're very open about this, you developed gambling addictions, you developed all kinds of things, and even though you had all kinds of success, and I find that so fascinating with many people who on the outside are garbed with everything that so many of us will look at and say, oh, wow, aren't they lucky? And we don't know
right.
the demons that they're running from.
Right.
We have no clue what's going on behind their closed doors of their minds. And that's what happened. Now, one of the things, and I'm quoting from your book, you said you discovered the hard way that complete abstinence from your destructive behaviors was essential for your healing. Well,
right.
that, you know, hey, cold turkey is tough stuff. How did
yeah.
you do that?
Well, I believe, Donna, and by the way, you put that together very well. Your insides and outsides don't match. The world sees your outsides, and I was always a very, people thought much of me, you know, successful. I appeared to be a good family man. I appeared to do all these things, but my insides, I was ripped apart inside. And getting back to your question, to me, all kinds of healing begins as a we process, not a me process. You need to solicit the help of other people in your life, healthy people, whether they're family, friends, therapist, coach, whatever that is. You need to put other people on board in order to stop the addictions. But here's the catch-22, Donna. If you're just stopping the addiction and you're not fixing what's broken inside, you will then pop to another addiction because, again, that void is still there. Even though you're stopping whatever it is you're doing, if you're not healing what's inside and filling that void in the right way, you're still going to choose. You may go from drinking to gambling, or gambling to pornography, or pornography to spending or eating. So you really do have to fix that inside. That's the key. And that's what the focus has to be on, or you just keep popping to the wrong places again.
I really enjoyed, and I want you to share, the story about Dr. Twersky's experience with an ex-con named Avi. I thought this story was so powerful. I think Dr. Twersky is a very, very wise and a very, very special man because
yes, he is.
Of the way he looks at people. He doesn't look at them as worthless pieces of flesh. He looks
right.
at them as souls. He looks at them
yes.
as something that is meant to bring life and light into the world, and he has some pretty ugly people that cross his threshold in his professional
right.
environment. Tell about Avi.
Well, you know, that's what's so important, and that's what Dr. Twersky's so wonderful at. And I could say that that's part of what I do. I don't look at a person's outsides. I look at what's going on inside of that person. And as Twersky says, you know, he calls addicts, some addicts are diamonds that have a lot of garbage wrapped around them. And what he did with this person was basically have the faith in this person that the person didn't have faith in themselves. And when I'm dealing with somebody that has really tough negative childhood messages, as this person did, the first and most important thing to understand is that people like this have lost trust in people a long time ago. They lost faith because if your parents don't consider you important, don't consider you as an important person, the child becomes self-centered in nature. The child is egocentric, and the child thinks something's wrong with me. I must be bad. And it takes a really good insight, as Dr. Twersky has, to look within and see that what they're showing on the outside really is all defenses covering up a person that's so afraid of trusting again, so afraid of getting hurt again. And when you're dealing with people like this, it takes time to build trust again. And they'll try and throw everything they can at you to push you away, because they're screaming, really, please help me, but don't get too close, is basically what they're saying. And it takes time to build that trust again. And once you have that trust, you do begin to see, as Twersky says, you see that diamond that's underneath all of that garbage.
And that's what I wanted brought out, because to reach the thinking or to reach the mind of this ex-con,
right.
and he had had a rough life. He
sure,
asked him
right.
if he had ever seen diamonds in a window, and the man said, well, of course I have. And he said, they're beautiful,
right.
aren't they? But when you find
right.
a diamond, it's just a rock. It's ugly, it's
right.
dirty, it's got all kinds
right.
of crap all over it. And
right.
that has to be cut away. And he said, that's where
right.
you want. To get
right.
to your essence, you have to cut away the garbage. And that's very powerful. One of the statements that you make in your book, which I think is so true, and I had a mentor that taught me this many years ago, if you do not reprogram your belief system, you will continue to choose one bad solution after another. And there's
right.
so many components that go into that. My mentor presented it in a little bit of a different way. She said, if you want to change something in your life, let's say you don't want to eat any more 5 pounds of cookies. I'll just use that as a ridiculous example. You don't want to eat 5 pounds of cookies every morning for breakfast. All right?
Right.
So what are you going to do? She said, you can stop that for a while, but if you don't replace the belief system
right.
or the habit with something that's better, then you've got a void and you're going to go back into that
right.
void because you haven't replaced it with anything. And that's basically
right.
what you're saying here. You must think. You must decide how you're going to replace things so that you can
right.
get out of the vicious circle you find yourself in, whether it is a fear. It could be a fear of
right.
flying. It could be
right.
a fear of losing a loved one or being poor or death. You know, there's all kinds of things in life that we can
right.
develop apprehensions over. And I like your
right.
use of the word trust. Because
right.
the word trust, if we can't trust ourselves, how are we going to trust somebody else?
Absolutely. And that's
the problem.
Yeah. And that's the first relationship you have to build is one with yourself. That's what I realized why I wasn't allowing my wife and children who love me dearly, why I wasn't allowing their love in is because I had no relationship myself. I was filled with self-hate. And that goes back to one of your other questions in that if you don't stop the addiction, you're going to be filled with such self-hate inside that you won't allow love in. You won't allow the love of others in. And that's why the addiction has to stop. So you start to feel a little bit of compassion for yourself, something that many addicts or the warden, that inner critic, will not allow you to. The warden doesn't allow you to slip and make a mistake and say, hey, it's okay. We all make mistakes. We're human. The warden is the first voice that says, how dare you make a mistake? And he makes you feel like you are a mistake. And these are the inner voices that are carried from childhood throughout life. And as you said, with that lady, your mentor had told you that, and that's the maintenance part of it. You know, if we could do different actions, but if we don't maintain those different actions, we're never going to be comfortable with those actions. Remember, what makes this so hard is we're comfortable doing the wrong thing. We're uncomfortable doing the positive actions. That's a powerful statement. If it wasn't for that, you'd be able to switch actions immediately. So what happens is it takes time to become comfortable doing the right thing, and that's where the maintenance comes in.
I think that your terms, mask of responsibility, I really like those words. And one of the things that you say is we no longer focus on trying to fix each other. In looking
right.
at our own character defects and wounds, we pray for strength and for each of us to find our individual path. Wow, is that a whopper? How many times
yeah.
are we told we're supposed to take care of someone? I can't tell you how many individuals I've known as a counselor that wail and moan, oh, my children are not taking care of me. Oh, this is terrible. And I go, good grief,
right.
for heaven's sakes, get a life. And I'll think, okay, we got to work through this because they're frightened. Then you have kids that say, oh, my goodness, my parents aren't leaving me an inheritance. How dare they go and they spend something? And, of course, these are just again, sort of silly examples, but they're very real to the people.
Yes, they are.
It's happening
yeah.
to. And people get so stuck with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, we had an incident in our neighborhood that I learned about that someone went by severely condemning someone because they said, you're destroying the environment. They went on a rampage. And they
right.
had no, I mean, this person was out of their mind. And I thought, isn't it interesting? They've chosen to live in an environment where a tree will have to be cut down because of storms. There are things that are going to happen, and yet this person decided this one day they were going to choose their victim for whatever reason. It had nothing
right.
to do with logic, taking it out on somebody, calling police, all kinds of things. It was a soap opera. Make a great show. And
right, right.
I just thought, isn't this amazing? Why did
yep.
this person feel like they had to go through this drama? What is the drama inside of them? And that's one of the many points that you cover. And I like Dr. Twersky a great deal. I think you have got a fabulous friend here. And he
yes.
made a comment that we generally assume that other people see the things just as we see them. Boy, is that wrong. I mean,
right.
they don't. They
right.
don't.
Right.
It's amazing. How did you get past that?
That's a great question, and I could tell you, again, we'll do a little time traveling again. You see, when I was a kid, my parents didn't make me feel like I was important or special, and what happened is I built this anger inside, this hurt, if you will, and again, this is a lot of what the bullying is in this country, and I talk about this again on other shows, and what happens with this anger is you want the world to pay the bill for what happened to you as a kid. If you were teased as a child, a young child, or you were abused physically, mentally, whatever the abuse was, you really want the world to pay the bill for this. And when the world doesn't cooperate, you end up what I call developing a destructive entitlement. And what that means is you hurt others the way you're hurting inside. You're acting out your anger on them. And I know I did this as a kid. I was always in fights. I probably had a bully mentality. But before I was a bully, I was a victim. Many bullies, before they're bullies, are victims in some way, shape, or form. They were abused by others. So when you have this kind of mentality, this angry mentality, you then go on and give yourself that destructive entitlement. I'm entitled to do these things to people. Now, it's distorted. It makes no sense. And you're not entitled to it. But somewhere in your head, you distortedly convinced yourself, because of what happened to you, that you're entitled to it. I think many times this is with addiction, too. I'm entitled to this. I give myself permission to drink, even if I'm hurting my family. And this entitlement comes from a very distorted place, but it becomes real to the person. So I hope that answered what you were asking me.
I know that we've got a few minutes here, but I wanted to cover a section in your book, and it has to do with personal inventory. And
right.
I think your statement, everyone has problems and everyone is not out to get us, we no longer need to have their problems own us. Now, a lot of people hearing this might say, wait a minute, look at what we've got going on in the country, look at what's happening here, look at what's happening there, the big problem. And if somebody doesn't take care of it, it's not going to get resolved. When you're discussing the personal inventory, what is your positioning with this personal inventory? My feeling is you've got to take care of number one first, because you really can't take care of anybody else or anything else until you have integrity with yourself. Is that what you're referring to with this personal inventory?
Exactly. I know in my personal life, when I started to heal the wounds inside of me, when I started to feel better about myself, all of a sudden those people that I gave power to just didn't bother me as much, because I was more content with who I was, and I didn't need them to be who I wanted them to be. And that's a very powerful statement. And when you start to focus on yourself and do what you're responsible to do, there's a good feeling you get inside that, and I believe this in every aspect of life, with wife, with children, with economy, with everything. When I'm doing what I can do, I feel a fulfillment inside, and all of a sudden, I don't need you to be who I want you to be. And that, to me, was my experience and my insights. And if I'm not doing what I should be doing, if I'm not feeling good about myself, well, all of a sudden, I want you to fill that hole more. I want you to fill that void more. And my expectations of you gets to the point where they become unrealistic, and I set myself up for resentments.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I really like this one statement. I know we're going to be closing out our interview with this. Your dad knew about your addiction. One of those severe addictions was your compulsive gambling.
Right.
And your dad actually begged you to do something about what he called the chain of insane behaviors that was passed down in the family from generation to generation. And you said it wasn't only the behaviors that concerned you, it was the character defects that were passed along. And I thought how wise your father had become when he acknowledged that about himself and said, son, you're going to be able to make a difference within your own family.
Yes.
And that was quite a statement of love and caring that he made to you.
Right. I don't know if we have time, but I'll try to speed the story up a little bit. But when my father he had stomach cancer, and he was really terminal in the hospital, hooked up to all of these. He was probably died 2 weeks later, and he knew he was dying. He knew he was very ill. He was very frail, lost a lot of weight. And when I went to visit him one night in the hospital, we spoke, and then I got up to leave, and he said, Tom, he said, you know, I visited my father 20 years ago when he had lung cancer. He says, and I could never tell my father that I loved him. I could never tell my father that I cared about him. And I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want to leave this world with you not telling me things that will help you, things that you regret. And I really realized, Don, at that time, that my father, with all the pain he was in and with all of the illness that he had, he really saw my pain. He saw that at that point in my life, I was still in my addictions and I wasn't able to share my feelings. And he saw that. He saw that I was in pain, even with all the stuff he was going through. And when I went to leave the hospital, he pulled me closer and he started to cry on my shoulder. My father, you know, came from that old Italian background. Men don't cry. Men are strong. I never had seen that before. And I realized, you know, how much he changed at that point. And after he died, I got his little cookbook. He started to like to bake. That was his thing. And in the cookbook, he wrote some journals down about his fears and about his resentments and about what he had gone through in his life. And what I realized, Don, at that time is this wasn't a 10-foot monster. This was a human being. This was me. I was him. I saw myself in him, my fears, my resentments. And I think that, to me, was the breaking point where I stopped taking it personal. I said, you know what? This poor man was handed those negative messages just as I was, just as his grandfather, my grandfather gave it to him. And there was nothing personal. This man did love me, and he did do as best as he could for me. And when he was able to clear that soot off of the diamond, as Tversky says earlier, he was able to show his true self, and he was a very good man. Unfortunately, his childhood messages hurt much of his life, but he was a very good man.
What is the website that people can go to find out more about your book and about the work that you're doing, Tom?
My website is www.theproblemwasme.com, you could pick up my book at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, and please, if anybody would like to shoot me any questions, I'd love to answer any questions that are being thrown my way. I have other stuff on there, parenting, bullying. There's a lot of stuff I do today trying to help people with a lot of the insights. Thank you.
Tom, it's been a delight. His name is Thomas Gagliano, good paisan. And more than that, his book, The Problem Was Me, is a powerful one. And if you are looking for a tool that you can use for yourself, or if you're a counselor, or you're someone that says, gee, this might help somebody else, someone I know, someone I love may need this, check it out. I don't think you'll regret it. Go to theproblemwasme.com. Again, Thomas Gagliano, it has been a delight having you as a guest. God bless. I'm glad you and your family and all of the many others around you in New Jersey are doing well. Take care, and we wish you the best.
Donna, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
It's been a delight. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Yes, I have a touch of laryngitis. I had a fun time with a friend last night because my voice has dropped a little bit in tone, and she said, Donna, I'm going to imitate you, and she did, and I just laughed. She said, this isn't all bad. This may sound pretty cool to people listening to you. I said, yeah, until your voice cracks. Anyway, Donna Szybo here with a touch of laryngitis, but still, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Well, Halloween, it's just around the corner. And there's so much in the way of decoration that's up. People are just having a wonderful time with it. I love the imagination of people when we start into the holiday season. And, of course, Halloween is the kickoff point for it. And this is a poem by Robin Ireland that I thought was cute. There's this wonderful image of all of these carved pumpkins. A pumpkin's grin, children knocking, bowls of candy, eerie sights. It's Halloween night. Oh, yes. My friend, we went over the weekend, we went to a party, a Halloween party, and our friend has been doing this for years, and it's always a treat to walk in her house. You're going to have spider webs all over you by the time you walk through the door. You have cackling cats. You have screaming whatevers. She has spiders as big as dinner plates that are crawling the wall. She just does this awesome job. But what really made me chuckle this year was her talking broom. She has a broom that looks like it has one of these robotic cleaners on the bottom of it. It's just the coolest thing. And it goes all over the floor, and it's talking to you, and it's got these eerie sounds. And I asked her where she got it. She said, I don't know. I just know that it's more fun to have. I said, yeah, my Scottish Terrier would love to chase that thing all over the kitchen. I mean, it was just amazing. She comes up with these wild and woolly things, but that's part of what the fun is for the holiday. The creativity, the magic, people in their costumes, it's just delightful. And you know what? I think people really enjoy an opportunity to get inventive and to put themselves into different outfits. One of the people at the party had on a zoot suit. And what is so much fun is when you find out these people have done a little bit of homework, they've done a little bit of history on this. If you know anything about the zoot suit, it's when the jackets for men, the pants were real baggy. They would often have a watch attached on a long chain. The watch would be in a pocket, and this long chain would be hanging down below an extremely long suit jacket, and they had these wide-brim hats, and it just really was quite a snappy look. I did not realize. I thought it was around the 20s when this was done. Well, my friend who had John, who was wearing this, and he looked so snappy in this outfit, he said, no, he did research on it, and it actually was in the 30s, and he said it was outlawed because fabric was in such short supply. I didn't know that zoot suits had been outlawed to be produced by manufacturers. It was not legal because they need the material for war. So fascinating things that you can learn sometimes at parties that you just never knew were going to happen. I got a cartoon in front of me that has two witches up on brooms. They're flying in front of the moon, the typical image. But one witch has a vibrant red cell phone in her hand, and she said, we have to go lower. I can't get any bars up here. I'm telling you, cell phones go everywhere, even with the witches in life. And Donna Szybo is here, and I'm here to chat with you. And if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. One of the things that my guest, Tom, mentions in his book is the aspect of forgiveness. And he said, of course, it entails forgiving ourselves for whatever has gone on in our lives, what may have been done to us, anything else. But it's a letting go. It really is a letting go of what we no longer need to carry. And he had a very powerful, powerful experience 3 years after his dad died. And he told you about that at the end of the interview. He said he was shopping with his daughter, who was looking for a Valentine's Day gift for her mom. Now, she was looking for this gift. And, of course, being a dutiful dad, he just follows her around the store. That's what dads do. You never try to tell a little girl what she should or shouldn't do. You just let her do her thing. And that's the easiest way for a dad to work. And that's what he was doing. Now, she really was concentrating. She wanted just the right gift. Well, all of a sudden, she sees a pen that has an angel on it. She got really excited. Very excited. She said, Daddy, that's it. That's the gift I want for Mommy. Of course, they packaged it up. It was wrapped very nicely, and on Valentine's Day, it was given to her mom, his wife. His wife turned to him, and she was thrilled with the gift. But she asked, "Did you read the note that went along with the pen?" He said, "No, I didn't. I didn't read the note." She said, "All right, I want to read the note to you." He was just astonished. The note that accompanied the pen said that this particular angel was born March 28, 1996. That was the date that his dad died. He and his wife were just really stunned and deeply moved, and at that moment, he felt the presence of his father very, very strongly. Coincidence makes you wonder, doesn't it? Sometimes we are given gifts to let us know that we're loved, to let us know that life is full of richness. And when we can recognize the gift, we are truly richer because of it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Nancy Duterte. We're going to be talking about, and excuse my laryngitis here, psychic intuition. This has been my life. It has been something that I just absolutely adore. And speaking of that, I have got a class coming up this Saturday, which I'll give you information on. But Nancy had been a skeptic. She was one of these left-brain individuals that said, "I'm going to go out to disprove this," and instead found herself deeply immersed in coming to understand this wonderful part of life that should never be feared. It should be embraced so that we can expand ourselves and grow in our understanding of our own capacities and the capacities that are out there to just enrich our lives. So we're going to be talking with Nancy about that tomorrow. So I invite you to tell your friends. Speaking of that, if you are in Western Washington, I invite you to come to our class on November the 3rd. When I say our class, and this is going to be this Saturday from 10 until 4, Robert Newman is going to be doing the first portion of the class, and I'm going to be doing the second. The first portion of the class is going to be the secrets of Chinese herbs, medicines for longevity. What is it that has enabled the Asian community to enjoy, in many ways, a healthier lifestyle? And how can we work with our own health so that we have longevity, not just because we want to live to be 150, but because we want to have a quality of life? So Robert Newman is going to be addressing that. We're going to take a break for lunch, and then after lunch, we'll be coming back and working with the powers of the mind. We'll be doing exercises, and that's where I come in. I absolutely love to do this. I love to demonstrate. I enjoy involving everybody in the class, and we're going to have exercises that we're going to be doing. It's very interactive. You will be able to ask questions of me and perhaps prove to yourself your own talents and capabilities that you didn't even know you had. So the class is this Saturday at Bridgeport Place in University Place, Washington. Give me a call if you would like to come. It is 253-582-5604. That's my office number, 253-582-5604. Come on and join us, won't you? We would love to have you. We do have some space available. I know this is election time, but for heaven's sakes, why not give a gift to yourself? A gift to yourself that'll empower you for an upcoming year where you're going to be able to make the changes that you want. So check it out on my website, DelphiInternational.com. The details are there. But give me a call if you'd like to make a reservation, 253-582-5604. Well, I'm going to get a sip of water when I come back from this break. We'll have some other good things to share with you. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. check out www.toprisin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprisin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprisin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back, and I had that sip of water. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. If you would like to chat with me, if you'd like to ask a question, doesn't make any difference. Give me a buzz if you'd like to do any of the above. This is the time of year when, if you're like me, you're lazy, you like something that's going to make the house smell absolutely wonderful, going to be sort of like a comfort food, but healthy for you at the same time. Well, how about a chicken vegetable soup that's made with Italian-style potato dumplings? Just a moment. Sorry. How about some gnocchi in it? Yeah, it'd be really easy. Now, this is an old-fashioned recipe, but it's so easy. You can put this in the crock pot. It is wonderful. This is what you do. You're going to take a tablespoon of oil. You're going to need 2 ribs of celery, and you want to cut that celery into 1/4-inch thick slices. You need about 1.5 cups of celery, an onion, chop it up, big chunks, little chunks, whatever's your pleasure, 2 small carrots, cut those up the way you want them. You want diagonal, big chunks, little chunks, whatever you want. You're going to need about 3/4 of a cup of carrots. You need about 3 cans of chicken broth, and these are the big cans, the 14-ounce cans, chicken broth. And you can get it, if you like, with vegetables already in it and herbs. You can do that, too, if you want. Or you just make your own potpourri of herbs, whatever is your pleasure. You're going to need a teaspoon of poultry season, 1 package of fresh gnocchi, 1 cup of frozen peas, and just let those sit out. They'll thaw. Actually, you don't even worry about them thawing. They're going to do that in the pot when you add it. You need 4 cups of baby spinach. That's fresh. And if you don't have that, then use frozen. And then 3 cups of your cooked shredded chicken. That is, if you're busy like I am, that's where those rotisserie chickens really come in handy. My girlfriend does this all the time. She uses them for soups and salads and everything. She said it just saves her time like crazy. So you can do the same. Or you can roast your own chicken if that's what you want to do. Now, in your pot, and if you use a crock pot, you won't even have to add the oil. You put your celery, onion, and carrots in, and you can just saute them. And then that's going to take just a few minutes. And then you add 2 cups of water, then all of your broth, your seasonings, bring it to a boil, then put in your little Italian pastas, the gnocchi, your peas, and reduce the heat to medium. And just let it heat up, warm up, and cook it. Maybe 10 minutes max if you put it on the stove. Now, if you put it in a crock pot, I wouldn't even saute anything. I'm lazy, I told you. I just put everything in the pot. If you wanted to add some beans, add some beans. You know, this is a basic kind of recipe you can do anything with. And your chicken, your spinach, you can add that just a few minutes before you serve. You come home from work, just toss it into the crock pot, ba-boom. It'll heat up and nothing flat. It's ready to go. Freshly baked bread, or if you want to fix some hot biscuits and add some honey butter with it. Maybe have a salad, but you don't even really need a salad because you've got all these wonderful vegetables in there. So be imaginative with this recipe. Put anything in it that you like. And remember, seasonings, if you don't like certain seasonings, use those that you do like. It's wonderful. And let me tell those of you that don't like gluten. If you say, I have to stay away from wheat, then let me give you a tip. You can use Asian rice noodles. And those, actually, you can buy them so that they're like made in little nests. You could put that in a bowl, put the hot soup over it, and they're ready to go in just, it's like 30 seconds. That's how fast they cook. So that's just a tip for those of you that are gluten-free in your dietary food programs. Just remember, there are those rice noodles that you can use if you so desire, and they're just delicious. So just a few, a little bit of tip there, and you know what, too? If you have leftover, put it in freezer containers or freezer bags. Toss it in your freezer. It makes a real fast meal for you, or a lunch, you know, a dinner, whatever you prefer, and it's great. Also, a tip I wanted to share with you, pumpkins are everywhere. Of course, it's the time of year. Do you know that pumpkins are loaded with magnesium? And it is one of the nutrients that's gaining attention. If you don't have adequate magnesium in your diet, then by golly, you're not going to absorb calcium intake on whatever level. Our bodies are fascinating. So magnesium, they are finding, finally, they're coming to the front with it. Magnesium is a vital nutrient for all of us in our lives. So enjoy that pumpkin pie or whatever you're going to use with pumpkin. I have a friend who makes lattes. She makes a pumpkin latte that she absolutely adores. Sorry, I don't have a recipe with me. But she said it's real quick and easy. She just uses the pureed pumpkin, adds her pumpkin pie spice to it, a little bit of hot coffee and some sugar and cream. She's happy. Actually, she even makes it so that it's a substitute for chocolate. She makes her pumpkin drink, and she said it just is terrific. Leave it to an Alaskan to come up with a way for a pumpkin drink that is healthy and tasty at the same time. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. The telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. Well, Halloween is here. It's going to be gone before we know it. And if you are in any of these areas, there are haunted houses that would be delighted to have your company. San Diego, California, the Whaley House Museum. It was built on a former gallows site, and there is a Yankee Jim Robinson who was convicted of grand larceny, and he was hanged. And do you know what? Regis Philbin stayed overnight, and he said he actually saw a ghost while he was there. So you can check out the WhaleyHouse.org and Stanley Hotel for those of you in the area of Estes Park, Colorado. Well, it was an inspiration. It's a spooky enough place where it gave inspiration to Stephen King for his really spooky novel, The Shining. By golly, there's a room there, 428. And you walk into that room, and your skin's going to crawl. There is not a nice person in, or there is a nice person that should not be in that room that is. And you'll find people have stories to tell about that. And last but not least, the St. Francisville, Louisiana area, Myrtle's Plantation. Do you know your clothes are going to get tugged if you stay there? Items slide off of the mantle. And there's a man with clothing from the 1800s that suddenly will appear in front of you to greet you. Sound interesting? Well, it was built in the 1700s, and it's loaded with spooky stories to share. And that's the Myrtle's Plantation in St. Francisville, Louisiana. This is Donna Sebo. And for those of you that are on the East Coast that have gone through such a difficult time, just know that all of us, our hearts, our prayers are with you. And we're just grateful that you've been able to withstand this very, very challenging force of nature that visited your area. Thank you for being with us. And for all of the rest of you, have an absolutely magnificent day or evening wherever you might be. Be safe, be happy, be grateful, remembering always that you're the master of your fate, the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here. Chat with you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.